So this morning, my class, I'm going to go ahead and just give you the title of what I was given here is The One Who Asked for Evidence. Now, who does that remind you of right away?
Thomas.
That is right. What is, very quickly, somebody give me a very brief summary. What was going on with Thomas at this moment? He was doubting. What was he doubting? Say that one time. That Jesus had risen from the dead. So here we have an apostle, Thomas himself, who was told what? That Jesus had been resurrected, but all the other ones had seen him except for him. So what did he say?
Show me evidence.
Show me evidence. Show me proof. What did he want to do in order to believe? He says, I must do this in order to believe that he is here. What was it? Put his hand aside, feel holes in his hands. So I want you to turn to John chapter 20. John 20, we're going to read from 24 to 29. John 20, 24 through 29. And it reads, Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said to him, We have seen the Lord. So he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came to the door, being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here, and look in my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I've always found this story very interesting. What is a common phrase for people when you don't believe somebody? What do you call somebody? And you're like, you don't believe me, you're a what? Well, no, not that. It's a very common phrase. I've heard it. You're a doubting Thomas. You heard that phrase before, right? This has become so, story. I guess you say the story, this retelling, has become so prominent in the world that many people, you say you're a doubting Thomas, they know what you're talking about. Even people that might not be religious. That's how much of an impact this particular situation had around the world, even till today. It's just describing somebody who doesn't believe or who requires evidence, even though the evidence can be there, even though sometimes it's very present and they still won't believe. So a good example is children. Children are very trusting of pretty much what an adult might say. But they also have the trouble of, like, a lot of times they won't believe you unless they see. What's it saying? Seeing is what? Seeing is believing. But that should be a little bit different for us as Christians. Why is that? Why is sometimes seeing not necessary to believe? Because we have faith. We should have faith. Faith in what?
Faith in the Word.
The Word that comes from God Himself. You have to remember, everything we do here on earth as Christians is based off of our faith. Faith that what God said, that what is written here is God's Word. Faith that if we follow what is here, we will have reward. Faith that that reward is what? Eternal life. All of it is required to have faith, which can sometimes be hard, especially in this world, is it not? Having faith, because it is true. It's a lot easier to believe something when you see it. But if you think about it, we go every day in life believing things we've probably never seen. One example I like to give to the kids sometimes is like, because they'll ask me, is every kid will ask you from time to time, is God real? And how do you explain that to a child? Yes, God is real. How do you know He's real? Well, you give examples. Who created the heavens? Who created the earth? Look at all everything around us. Now, schools will teach them differently, so that's why you have to be try to find a way to answer that to them. But they need to see. Now, here's the thing, though. Has anybody ever seen God that is alive right now? Has anybody ever had a conversation one-on-one with God who is alive right now? No, God doesn't communicate like that anymore. So how is it that we as Christians who have never seen God, never heard God, never held a conversation face to face with God, believe that God exists. Josh?
So, not to answer your question exactly, but in an indirectly kind of. So, one thing I think is interesting about Thomas is we call him Doubting Thomas, but we think back to, like, he would have seen, he would have known the power that Jesus had. He knew what Jesus was capable of doing, like manipulating the natural world in other ways. It wouldn't make sense to not believe that we could assume, like, it's always easy to say, like, if I'm in his position, oh, I would have believed. But it implies that he had knowledge before that moment of doubt. He had knowledge of what was true. He was just doubting what was true. It's not like someone came up to him and said, like, this man that has never done any miracles raised from the dead. But yeah, that would make sense not to believe.
Right.
In our case, we believe because of what's been written. John writes so many times in his epistles and in the gospel something along the lines of so that they may believe. Right? All these things were written that they may believe. I believe that's in John 21, I don't find the verse. Maybe it's 21. Oh wait, yeah. John 20:31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life.
Thank you for your comment. Actually, we're going to get into that in just a little bit of how Thomas, remember, who was Thomas? Sorry, go ahead. Say it again, Brother Eric.
One of the disciples.
He was one of the disciples. It says one of the 12. 12 who? 12 apostles. Who were the apostles? They were people that were there. They saw Jesus. They saw him perform his miracles. They were with Jesus throughout his whole life. They were presented, as Josh had said, with evidence time and time and again as how Jesus was able to manipulate the laws of nature. And yet, when this was presented to him, this situation, what was his first instinct? When he was told that Jesus was resurrected, what was his first words out of his mouth? I'm not going to believe unless. Now, do you think Thomas was a weak man as far as his spirituality? I would say probably not. He was one of the apostles. Exactly, but we all have weak moments. Even though Thomas was an apostle, Thomas was there and saw all the miracles Christ did, Thomas was still just a man.
Thomas was the one that got labeled the doubter, but when Mary came back from the tomb and was told by the apostles and Peter that I am risen from the dead, they didn't believe her. They had to run and see for themselves.
It's actually, this is very true. You're right, it is true. And so, I just want you to, the reason I say that is that every once in a while, as Christians, there might be times in our life where we have doubt. Where we might wonder, you know, what I'm doing, is it worth doing what I'm doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it even real? I'm pretty sure if you've been a Christian long enough in your life, at some moment that thought has crossed your mind. I know it has mine. You have to remember, we are human. We're not perfect. And especially as the world tries to beat us down day in and day out. Brother?
I think there are two elements here that we need to remember about this story here. Number one is the fact that sometimes we tag him and label him as Doubting Thomas, you know, possibly because he did not accept the testimony of credible witnesses. The other disciples who were going to become Christ's apostles, okay, were said, this is what's happened. and he did not accept that. But the other element to that is that what he was asking for is what we ought to ask for. And we used the term evidence a while ago, or proof. There's nothing wrong with asking for evidence. There's nothing wrong with asking for proof of something. And we know, true, John 20:31 tells us that these things are written that we might believe, but also the other evidence that we have in the world. God gave us evidence in the world of his existence. Jesus gave evidence of who he was on earth that we've talked about. So there's nothing wrong with evidence. There's nothing wrong with asking that. But if we have credible witnesses or testimonies to something, we didn't need to pay attention to that.
That's very true, and you're getting ahead of me. That's one of my other points. Did you look at my notes? Were you looking at my notes, Royce? But no, it is true. We will get into that about evidence itself in here in just a second. But thank you for your point. But you're right. If there's evidence being shown to us, especially by credible people, we do need to pay attention to it. But there are people out there that will flat out refuse it. But like I said, we'll get into that in just a second. So going back to here, asking for evidence. Thomas asked for evidence. He asked for proof that Christ was alive, and he was given the evidence. Christ himself showed up and says, look, here are my wounds. Look at it. Feel it. Don't be an unbeliever. But then he goes to say, you believe because you saw it, but it says, blessed are those who believe without seeing, which I think takes a lot more faith, a lot more effort, because it's a lot easier to believe something once you've seen it than just by the word of somebody else. And it's just human nature, I believe. Children, a lot of times, they won't believe you unless you show it to them. And that's how many people are, many adults, especially those that are not Christians, those that have not grown up in the church, those that do not know God. It's a lot of what you read in the Bible is hard for them to understand or even accept for many reasons. But if you think about it, a lot of this is a lot of things that God has done, a lot of things that Christ did is beyond human comprehension at points. We don't really understand how it's done. A lot of things that I struggle to answer my kids sometimes, like, where did God come from? If God made everything, who made God? You'll get that question a lot if you have kids, if you've had kids before, they'll ask you. And that's a hard question to answer. We try to explain as best we can that God has always been, he's always existed. But to a child, he cannot comprehend that. He does not understand. Me as an adult have trouble. I as an adult have trouble understanding that concept of God always being, always will be, because in my limited mind, that's as far as I can. That's the same sometimes with many people. You try to teach them the word of God. Try to teach them, what the Bible says. It's hard for them to understand and comprehend. So that's where we have to try to show evidence in other ways. Brother Larry?
I've tried to understand that myself, because God is in eternity and has always been there. We can't fully understand it with God because God is spirit. We were born in time, and so we don't understand eternity as God does. And so I don't know if we can ever really answer that, but we answer it by faith. God said he was there.
It's true. It all comes down to faith. As Christians, our faith will be tested day in and day out, as it should be. And sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's easy. But that's where it comes, a lot of it comes from, having faith. Now I want to touch on that real quick. What is faith? Say it one more time, a little bit louder so people can hear.
The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
What verse is that? Anybody know off the top of your head? Hebrews 11:1. Turn to that real quick. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, the whole chapter, I've heard it referred to as a chapter of faith. Because you have to have faith in this, faith in that, faith. People did this by faith alone. And that's what we do as Christians. We do this because we have faith. Because we believe. We believe without ever seeing. Now, let me straighten that point out there. We believe even though we've never seen God himself personally. We believe even though we've never talked to Jesus himself. Even though we've never seen an apostle. Even though we've never seen miracles performed like they were in the past. Yet here we are. Many of us every Sunday, every Wednesday, preaching the word, listening, singing, day in, day out, till the day we die. Why do we do it? Some people think we're crazy. You know, praying to somebody that might be make-believe in the sky, that's what they'll say. Or believing in things that are not possible. But yet here we are. Why do you have faith as a Christian? Answer it to yourself, like, why do I keep believing day in and day out? Was it something that happened in your past that changed your life? Was it someone? Brother Larry? It's very true. There have been many instances in history where they've tried to get rid of the Bible, and they can't. The Bible is always, the Word of God is always around, will always be around. You know, everything will pass, but the Word of God will remain. Brother Eric, you had something?
I was going to say, his Word says, his Word leads to eternal life and will be just on the last day by his Word. So that's what I believe.
There you go. Do you want to say something?
Every action has the action itself, but we see the after effect, whether that be the way the Grand Canyon looks, or whether that be we see how the Word of God affects people 2,000 years later. There's so much evidence, but people don't see it as evidence.
This is true. Now, that touches in on the next point here I have in a second. Real quick, back to faith. So everything we do is because we have faith. A lot of times we as Christians, the evidence we were given, the Word of God is enough for us. But if you look around, though, there really is evidence everywhere. In the sky, the stars, the earth itself, the creation, the love humanity shows to each other from time to time, just in the child themselves. You know, it's everywhere, evidence of God's presence. Now, here's the thing. Why should we as Christians have faith? I want somebody to answer that to me. Brother Eric.
I was going to say, because when Jesus comes, that's that faith that he's going to be looking for when he comes.
That's actually a very good answer right there.
I couldn't hear.
Brother Eric, can you say it one more time, a little bit louder?
When Jesus comes to take us home, he will be looking for that faith in us because, you know, without faith, you cannot please God.
Watch those
diligently seek him.
Perfect. That was the next verse I was going to try to get to. It says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible. Not improbable, not unlikely, not maybe. impossible means there is zero possibility, no chance whatsoever to do what? To please him. We as Christians must have faith in order to be able to please our Lord. And as Eric said, when Jesus comes, he's going to be looking for that faith. Only those that were faithful to him, only those that strive to do what he asked us to do, will be going with him. Faith is so important that I sometimes feel like we don't touch on it enough or don't really, truly think about how important it is to have faith in what is written here, in what we have been taught many times by many people over the years. Those of you who have been Christians for many years, I know there's new Christians, and I know there's old Christians, and all in between. But every single one of us, whether you've been a Christian one day or 60 years, you must maintain that faith throughout your life. Because, as Brother Eric says, faith is going to be one of those things that Christ is looking for whenever he comes. Josh, you want to say something? Go ahead.
So, I think Hebrews 11:1, I mean, when talking about Thomas, I think it's a great foundational verse to bring up, because it defines what faith is. So we talk about like hope in the Bible, and hope is not just something that we, it's like wishful thinking. It's not wishful thinking. It's knowledge that we have. It's hope based on, it's wishful thinking, we could say, based on fact, based on knowledge. And so when considering Thomas's situation, we have a man that has, I would say, he had faith, but in this moment he was tempted and fell into sin. The doubt is actually just sin, because he had knowledge, he had faith. But Romans 14:23 says that he who doubts is condemned. Now that's in a different context of things of opinion, matters of opinion. But the doubt is sin. And so, I mean, like we said a second ago, that people have off days, or
right,
faithful people can still sin. This is, I think, a moment of him being tempted to set aside that knowledge, those substantive, the evidence that he had, and asking for different evidence that he didn't need.
It's true. Brother Rice?
I heard this many years ago, and I think it really is appropriate here. When we talk about hope that Josh was talking about, a good definition of hope for us as Christians especially is desire plus an honest expectation. Well, what is an honest expectation based upon? Knowledge.
That's right.
And so it all ties together. And in fact, if you go over to Romans 8, verse 23, 24, we learn that we are actually saved in hope. We're saved by hope. So we're saved by something that we have a genuine desire for, that is to be saved eternally, but it's based upon an honest expectation or knowledge that God has given us through his word.
That's very true. Now,
I'm not sure. I know when we talk about Thomas, I think sometimes we use the word doubting. The Bible didn't put that there.
Correct.
The reason I think about that sometimes, if you look at 1 John 4:1, think about this. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but guess what? Test or try the spirit. And you think about Thomas, when he did actually get the evidence, he believed it. And you think about those Pharisees that tested Jesus and asked for a sign. Jesus did not give them more evidence. Their heart weren't right.
That's right.
I think Thomas was trying to, but like you said, for us today, like Tobias did a great lesson Wednesday night about the issue of living together. Heard that all my life, don't do it. But you know what? He proved it. He went to the scriptures. He brought it out. He showed us the evidence. There's no point in it just trusting that somebody just said it.
That's actually very true. And again, it touches with what Roy said earlier. It's my next point about You're jumping ahead of me here. But no, everything you say is true. It's correct. Now, real quick here. I'm running low on time. So it's about why we should have faith. Also, ask yourself a quick question. When should we have faith as Christians? Always. That's a simple answer. You should always have faith.
Just real quick.
Yes.
To me, this may seem kind of strange, but to me, it's a cumulative faith. In other words, when you're a young Christian and you first have that tiny seed of faith and you're praying about something, prayer's answered, and you really realize that God answered your prayer, it's like you build on that. And you take a step each time as far as building your faith in God, because every time a prayer is answered, you're like, wow, you know, He answered it. And I didn't have to do anything. I just prayed about it.
That's true. Faith is true. Faith, you're not just going to wake up one day and suddenly, like, be full of faith. It's something you do have to build up over time and effort and trials and tribulations. Your faith will grow as you grow as a Christian. It should.
Just real quick. If we're not going to call it doubt, then, I mean, I can get off of that. We can call it unbelief.
Yeah.
So Hebrews 3:19 says that the ones who are wandering in the wilderness, right, that's in the context of Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3:19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So, still same.
Now, real quick here, one other thing. I'll move on here. One last thing I want to ask. Why should we have faith? We answer that. When should we have faith? Very quickly answer it. It should be always. It's really simple. And then one last thing is, in whom should we have faith? That one should be very simple as well. Who is it? Somebody say it. God, thank you. Yes. A lot of people, I've known many people who are like, you know, I don't have faith in God, or I don't believe in God. I believe in only what I can see. I believe in myself. I believe in my own two hands and things like that. But the problem with that is we as people are just what? Human. Are we perfect? No. So why would you trust an imperfect being? God is perfect. True or false? Yes. There's no doubt that God is perfect. So why not put your faith in a perfect being? Not just a perfect being, but an all-seeing being, and an almighty being, an all-knowing being, all-loving being. God is perfect in every single way you can imagine that we as humans fail on many great levels. There are many people out there who are great men, great women, very caring, very loving, very whatever you want to say, but they are far from perfect. They may excel in one place, but they fail in another place, whereas God excels in everything. So, in whom should you put your faith? Should you put your faith in the preacher that's up here? Should you put your faith in your brothers and sisters? Should you hang your faith in any man or woman on this planet? No. Your faith should be on God.
They can be an encouragement.
That's true. They can be an encouragement. They can be an example. They can be somebody you want to strive to be like. That is fine. But your faith, though, should not be solely based on that one person. I've seen it too many times where a preacher will leave a congregation, whether they move on to somewhere else or whether they are asked to leave. And what happens to their congregation sometimes? It splits or it falls. People leave. Why? Because they put their faith in a man and not in God, which is what matters. And that is
prayer. Not whenever others, I mean, yes, like you said, being around like minded, it comes for everything, but and strengthen it. But for myself, I've noticed greater growth whenever I've searched out myself.
And that's what you should do. As a Christian, you should always, every day, strive to learn more.
They have faith, because, you know, if they claim the truth something that the science doesn't even support. And Christianity and the biblical worldview has so much scientific evidence that does support it, that, you know, life coming from life and intelligent design is everywhere. And so I just think that's kind of funny how it's sad, you know, that they have faith in one thing, but we have faith in another, but ours is the one that actually has the evidence.
That's very true. And that's the thing about faith. People will have faith in many things. Some people have blind faith, which is not something we should do either. The faith should come from yourself and the things you see, the things you read. You should always study, because in the end, what's the ultimate authority here on earth? God's Word. And where do we find God's Word? Everyone probably has one right now, should have one. You carry it around with you, a Bible. Many people should have. I'm sure many people have more than one Bible at home. That's where you're going to find your evidence. That's where you're going to find your truth. That's where you're going to find everything you need to build on your faith. Now, I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to move on real quick. Now to the point that Brother Royce touched on a moment ago. Here's the thing, though. Is it wrong, though, to ask for evidence? Is it wrong to question, you know, what people say up here? No, it is not wrong to ask for evidence. For example, in a crime scene, in a jury, in a court, somebody is accused of whatever. How is that person going to be either freed or jailed? Through what? Proven innocent or proven guilty. Through what? Evidence. Well, the evidence shows that, you know, this person did this on this time. Here's pictures of this person doing that. Or here's pictures proving that the person wasn't there. But it requires evidence before you can just throw somebody in jail. I mean, the system's not perfect, but that's the gist of it. You want to say something?
Yeah. Isn't that what the noble Bereans did? They went home to
prove. Exactly. Which is what I want to touch on next is whenever a person stands up here, who's standing up here? A man. A man who is not perfect. A man who sometimes fails, a man who doesn't know everything, but they stand up here and they preach to you. Now, the responsibility of the person up here is to preach the Word of God. And is that where it ends? Is that where the responsibility ends, right here on this side? No. What is your responsibility as those that hear it? Check the Scriptures. Prove it. Like you were saying, people need to check what is being spoken up here. Don't just go by what the person says up here. There are many times preachers who have been preachers for a long time might say something wrong by accident, or they don't know, or they weren't aware of it. Just because somebody's been preaching for 20, 30 years doesn't mean they cannot learn something new from the Bible. Think about it. I've been a Christian for 20 plus years, and there's times that I read something in the Bible, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that about that. You're always learning something new. So the person who stands up here is not infallible. The person up here does not know everything. We try our best. But it's your responsibility as those that listen to it, as those that hear it, to look into the Scriptures and see if it's true or not what they said. Because a lot of times many people have been led astray simply because they do not look in the Bible themselves. Simply because they just take the word of the person up here because, oh, he's been preaching for so many years, or he's the preacher, or he's the elder, or he's whatever. It must mean it's true. Quick history lesson, those of you who don't know. Catholicism. Did you know for the longest time, for centuries, I think, in Catholic churches, in their buildings, there were no Bibles. They were not allowed to read the Bible. They were not allowed to have a copy of the Bible. Do you know why? What do you think? Because they had to put their whole faith in whatever the man up front was saying, which was completely wrong. Because they knew if they looked into the Scriptures, a lot of what they said could be easily disproven. And then when they did put the Bible in there, it was in a language that most people couldn't read. So just think about that. We, as Christians, should ask for evidence of what the person is up here preaching. And where do you find that evidence? In the Word of God. It's your responsibility, as well as much as mine, when it comes to the Word of God. Now, where do you find this evidence? I just said it. in the Bible. Turn over to 2 Timothy 3:16. And 17. Somebody will read that for me, please.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
All what? Scripture. Some scripture? Part of it? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable, and it makes a list here, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Everything you need to be a Christian is found in the scriptures. So this is where you find your evidence. In days that you may doubt, in days that you may wonder, or whenever somebody asks you, you know, why do you believe what you believe in? This is where you find the evidence. This is where you prove the evidence.
It kind of reminds me of, like, you know, Moses, when he was talking to God, he said, well, how will Pharaoh know that you sent me? And how will the Israelites know that you sent me? And God gave them signs to prove that he really was being sent from God, like turning his staff into a serpent or turning water into blood. Like, God sent Moses with those signs to show, you know, that he was actually from God and not just coming off on his own to do this thing. And for us nowadays, we get the benefit of the prophecies. Like, there's so many prophecies in the scriptures that we see fulfilled, and that's a great deal of evidence to me, you know, like all the historical things that, like, that Daniel talks about and how they all come true. And so, I mean, God has given confirmation.
It has. You're right. Now, I got about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to just real quickly. Now, whenever we are asked for evidence as Christians, though, it's our duty to provide it. Try to provide it. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. I'm going to read that real quick. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks your reason for your hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." So basically we're told is always be ready and prepared to show proof or evidence of your faith. But how can you do that if you don't study your Bible? That's why it's very important to study the Bible. Because people will ask us questions, especially if you're trying to teach somebody about God, especially trying to show somebody about Christ. You can't just say, oh, you know, it's because I was told this and I was raised by this. They want proof. They want you to show them. So it's your job as a Christian to show them with the scriptures, and not just with scriptures, also the way you live yourself, the way you behave yourself, the way you talk. There's many ways to prove it. But one of the biggest things is always being ready to give an answer for your faith. And that starts by knowing your Bible, which a lot of times I think we kind of fail to do, really. Study, I myself, I know, could probably study more than I should. I mean, you can study all your life, which many people have done, and still not learn everything there would be in the Bible. So you as a Christian, it is your job to provide evidence, provide proof, using the scriptures. So what I'm saying with that is just study your Bible. Because that's one way you're going to help people or help teach people about God, is by knowing the Word of God, being versed in the Word of God. And so I have 2 minutes left, 3 minutes. So I'm going to go last point real quick. Again, there's nothing wrong with asking for evidence. As a matter of fact, we should ask for evidence. But it does come to a point where there are people who are given evidence, just there it is, and they flat out refuse to believe it.
You know, I was just, at home, we just went over the bread of life that Jesus had just fed 5,000 men, which probably translates to 12,000 people, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then he walked on water, and the next morning the apostles were like, well, give us a sign. sometimes it's frustrating even us as Christians to see the evidence.
It's true. And the reason for that is because, again, we are human. We're not perfect. Now, I'm going to read one last verse here. It's a little bit longer. Psalm chapter 10. Everybody turn to Psalm chapter 10, verse 1-13. This is a long one. Who wants to read this real quick? Psalm 10, 1-13. Anybody want to read it? Jamie, go ahead.
Why sittest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou self in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. For all his enemies he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing, and deceit and fraud under his tongue, in mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, and in secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor man may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord of God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked...
That's good right there. Oh, wait. Thank you. So, this right here, I see it as the wicked man. The man who does all this evil, who does all this wrong. And the reason he does it is because he said in his heart, what is it, the last verse right there, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. And one of the reasons I believe a lot of people do what they do and refuse to see evidence is because they truly believe that God doesn't see, or God won't remember, or there simply is no God. So I can do whatever I want to do. And no matter how much evidence you put in front of me, no matter how much you prove to me and show to me, I will do what I want to do. And the simple reason for people being like that is one word, pride. Because if they were to believe the Bible, if they were to believe the evidence you provide to them, that means they would have to change the way they live. That means they would have to listen to somebody else instead of living their life the way they feel like living their life. Instead of being able to do whatever you want to do, now you have to have order, you have to have rule, you have to have law, you have to be under somebody, and many people are too prideful to do that. No matter how much evidence you provide to them, no matter how much you show them, no matter how much it is that you try to talk to them, and that can be one of the hardest things to try to combat, to try to teach somebody that's like that, because it's almost impossible. Because they flat out have refused and will not accept whatever you tell them. The truth is, God's word is truth. It is law. Just because you don't believe it does not make it false. Just because you believe something else doesn't make that true. The thing about truth is that it does not require your faith or your belief in order for it to be true. And God's word is true. And many people will be condemned, and many people will go to hell believing that. And that's a sad thing. And so, my time is up. I thank you for your time, and evidence is very important to have, to prove, to show. And so, just keep that in mind. Thank you.